Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Adam Wilson, CEO of Benn's Creek. Welcome, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Nice to see you, Ben, both of you, and Happy New Year.
Is it ever too late at the 23rd, 24th to say Happy New Year? I guess not.
It's my first time back in Blighty, so nice to be home again.
And I'm very glad that you gave us our podcast back after you took it off us the last time.
Yeah.
Well, you do a much better job. I hope I didn't destroy your viewer base.
Since we last talked, obviously you've had what looks like a pretty manic few weeks or start to the year, and some rather good news regarding the first deliveries of the High Vol B product and obviously the purchase of a second high wall miner. Do you want to talk us through these significant milestones, Adam?
I do, and thanks for asking, Phil. I think the first thing I want to sort of say to your listeners is, you know, about the macro outlook for the product. This is the key driver to this stock. And, you know, there were a lot of people that were talking about the high vol A and B price, you know, coming down in price, being too high and coming down. And actually did drop $10 or $20, but now it's picked back up. It's actually trading at all-time highs. The last price, $345 a metric ton on the Platts S&P. And that is what's so underlying the strength of our company and why we're expanding into a second high wall miner and have been able to deliver a coal quicker than possible. Also, you've got the sort of background of the industry itself, which has systemic underinvestment. I mean, we're not talking years, we're talking decades of where they haven't invested. So they've just been unable to bring new product on stream, perhaps at like some of the forecasters expected, which is further exacerbating the supply problem and increasing the price. So all that has been great. You know, you need to invest again in rail lines and wash plants. And these companies live in hand to mouth. They haven't been able to. You've seen a few instances of striking and stuff like that. So on some of the bigger producers, so that's also impacted. And you've seen China return to buy. So you've got massive demand for the product, all of the things we've talked of, and the inability of these companies to gear up and supply that, you know, ever-growing market. So because of that, even though we are not yet, but very, very close now to fixing that, and I will come on to both the wash plant and the railway line, my off-taker, so desperate for the product, he agreed to buy my run-of-mine product. Right? Now, so for our viewers, we actually get 52% recovery, but if we work on 50% recovery, it's ever so easy to sort of understand. So normally we wash two tons of coal, we get 50% recovery. So 2 tons of coal washed equals 1 ton clean. And then we load that and sell it. So the clean price, you know, if you think of that as $300 after transport and everything like that, currently, if we sell a run of mine coal ton for 150, that's the equivalent, because you get 2 run-of-mine tons to 1 clean ton. So when he offered me that type of, and it's a commercially sensitive price, but it's the same principle, he offered me the equivalent price that we would have got had I washed the coal. I gave him a small discount just to start. So, you know, we're not even having to process the coal at the moment. We're just taking it out of the wall, putting it on the ground, and shipping it. And we shipped our first shipment by road about just under 1,000 tons on Tuesday, and we will continue every day. And, you know, we'll get paid this Friday. So we're cash flow positive. That's profit. There's a lot of profit in there. I can't give you the exact number, but Kevin has been very accurate, not exactly accurate, but very roughly accurate in his numbers. So it's very profitable. We started already. And, you know, it's taken a lot of the pressure off. So we're focusing on producing more of that run-of-mine coal. So the second high wall miner, we accelerated the purchase. That'll be on site, I would hope, mid-Feb. But again, these are just my hopes. I'm not putting out key dates to be able to, but I hope we can get that going mid-Feb, so very quickly, and that'll double our production. Now, at the same time, now that we're able to sell it, we've been able to work much better on the wash plant. The wash plant will be into test mode in about a week's time. We previously weren't going to test it. I was just going to run it straight, but as I'm selling the run-of-mine coal at the same price, I'll take 2 more weeks to just to test the wash plant. That's what they encourage you to do with a brand new wash plant. Obviously, ours is not brand new. It is being remediated. But, you know, if I can go to better quality, test it, I'll get better recovery out of it, more money out of it. So that's on track. Well, there have been some bad weather in West Virginia. It hasn't really slowed us up that much. We will still be on track to get the railroad in March. Potentially was February previously. Our shipment originally was 1st of March, so we haven't really moved from there. But again, I want to fix the railroad as soon as possible, but there is no requirement now to ship by rail, as our off-taker Integrity from our announcement is buying raw coal. That desperate is he for producing coal mines to give him the... Now, that may not be the case forever. And obviously, by about March, we'll have both the wash plant and the railway line ready. And the end customer ultimately wants a finished washed product. So I'm going to get there. We're still going to get there on time. But it's just really the push in higher prices combined with the lack of investment, and also the institutions that can't invest in coal now that are creating a squeeze, which is just meaning that for Ben, it's been fantastic, a fantastic time. So, you know, great to come back on your show and share that good news with you.
It's almost like a unicorn, isn't it? When you think of it, it's the company, you know, no debt, actual revenue is going to be coming in within the next few days, as you mentioned. And
we're so lucky, Phil, because and I thank my investors like a family, right? Everybody that's bought the stock and held onto it, because nobody wants to invest in coal per se. And we've had a couple of podcasts about the difference in thermal coal and met coal, and we are a met coal producer. You know, normally an asset that's we came to the market very cheaply. You know, you were one of the first guys that. Your team that engaged with us, and we said, look, we're getting 60 million of infrastructure. We're listing at 35 million. We're going to be cash flow positive. We're going to make at least one times earnings in the first year. We've exceeded all that. But the start was we came to the market cheaply. Yeah. So even though the stock has done well, it's still probably only fairly valued. If you look at another miner that came virtually the day after we listed, similar type, well, less production, less pricing power than we have, it came to the market at about 130 million market cap. That's where we are now. So you know, we have had a good rise, but a lot of it was priced in because nobody wanted coal. So I wanted to make sure that everybody had a fair ride. That the earnings that we're producing, you know, would support, if it were a non-coal company, a much higher multiple than we enjoy.
Right now, based on the numbers that you talked about, probably the first or second podcast that we did, where hopefully there was going to be a million tons of coal produced. This is a serious possibility now within 2022, based on two high wall miners, etc.
Well, again, Kevin, you see, we don't even have to produce that tonnage in the year. Most companies are valued on a rolling 12 months. So, you know, within 12 months, could I get to 80,000 tons of production, and that would support the 100, that would support a million tons, and we know where the margins are, you know, absolutely. I mean, we've gone to two high wall miners in February, and again, you know, please don't rule out, and this is not a promise, but, you know, we're on a podcast, this is one of my aspirations. I certainly don't see that it's not impossible. We'll go to a third high wall miner. You know, we've got the capacity at the plant. And the other thing that I'm looking to do now, which I've said on your podcast, which we are in, you know, getting, we're making progress on, is to add both reserve and other infrastructure. There's a lot of infrastructure out there. I can do exactly the same thing that I've done with Ben. spend a little bit of money on it, show a little bit of TLC and bring that infrastructure on board. Second wash plant I now would like to get, second rail loadout, you know, and that is not inconceivable in the very near future.
I mean, just going back to the million tons that we originally talked about, and that was when high vol B was around $270, $280 a ton. Oh. Now $345 a ton. Basically, your margin must be, you know, we talked earlier before the podcast about the short ton and the metric ton, which there's a 10% differential, which basically means that for the short ton, you're talking about $310 at the minute, not $345. But even so, with the metric ton, you're talking about a margin of $160, $170 per ton. So this would, on a million tons, this is $170 million of EBITDA.
Well, again, I'm not making a forecast. I think you're a little high on your margin, but even so, even if you discounted that by half, which would be overly aggressive, you know, I wouldn't disagree with where your numbers are coming. And the other thing that you're slightly that we've missed is we don't just do high wall. We don't just do high wall mining. I have got a deep mine coming in. It's only going to produce minimal coal compared to the high wall miner, but all of that coal is high vol A, and high vol A is $400 a ton. And what it will enable me to do is blend some of the higher quality coal with some of the high vol B and produce a high vol B plus. So I should be able to increase my margin again through that. But I, you know, and as I sort of mentioned earlier, I am looking to add both reserve and infrastructure very quickly now. You know, my target, it has exceeded, you know, I'm confident within the 12 months that we talked about, we're going to get to my original target, the tonnage you've talked about. And now, obviously, I want to push ahead. I want to do more than that tonnage with these prices.
I suppose the point I was making was that will give you the current market cap as EBITDA sometime in the next 6 months, probably, with two high wall mines.
I don't think I've steered you wrong thus far. I think you've been one of the more accurate forecasters out there, even though I think you sent me, Kevin, the Reddit, which was obviously a pleasure to get on to.
Yes.
The Megalosaurus, was it? The
Dinosaurus analysis was amusing.
It was very funny, wasn't it? And they only told you should be £5.50.
Well, once you're on Reddit and Robinhood, you've kind of made it, really. So
absolutely. So, I mean, based on our conservative figures, we were working on a PE of 4, and we can go back to Warrior Met Coal that had a PE of 7 or 8, I think it was, and they also have $500 million of debt. There is problems in terms of mine workers and disputes in terms of different things going on, none of which you should encounter. So the valuation right now, I know you can't really say it in terms of forward looking, it's a gift. It's like very, very cheap for what is about to happen.
I think, you know, I obviously believe that, you know, as the management team, you know, and we sort of, you know, believe that too. I think, you know, some people look at the appreciation in the stock and think it's fully valued. And obviously, you know, that's fair comment. All I would say again is we came at 35 million. We came at a fraction of potential EBITDA. We've done everything we've said. If you put a proper multiple on it, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think if it had come at 120 million market cap, nobody would have said anything and we'd be where we are now. Because we brought it to the market at a fraction even of the infrastructure cost to put the wash plant, the rail, load out the rail line, to buy the reserves, that was where, you know, none of the management has sold us a share. So it didn't matter too much to us. And you saw other mining companies that came fully valued, whereas we came really cheaply. So, you know, you've got to, I think, look at current value against where we started from.
The next question, which is you alluded to there about, you know, we already have Ben's Creek 2 by the purchase of the extra facility, which is contiguous with Ben's Creek 1. So Ben's Creek 3, you're actually working on at the moment, trying to facilitate that situation. Is there going to be a need to get more cash other than sales? I.e., is there likely to be any more dilution to try and attain this Ben's Creek 3?
What I will say is the last time I saw dilution, which was at a convertible note at 28p, we were able to buy a high wall miner for about half the value that they are. When I was looking at high wall miners to start the project, they're about 7 million. The one we were able to acquire came in about half the price because it was a third high wall miner on a site that was having some production problems. So, you know, even though there's a 28 pence dilution in that capital raise, I think it was for the benefit of all shareholders. And so all I will say to you guys is I'm only going to take money if I can see that the benefit for the shareholder is greater than the dilution. So let me give you, for example, this isn't a forecast, this is just a for example. If I could buy another wash plant, another rail loadout for the same type of money, you know, a small VAT percentage of its value, that, and I could do that quickly, you know, that would be attractive for all shareholders. We would double, treble, quadruple Ben's Creek's size very quickly. Other than that, we don't need any cash.
From the point of view of the rest of this, these next sort of 2 months in this quarter or 2.5 months, tell us what you can see in terms of what revenue is likely to come in, regardless of any purchases or anything else that you do.
Well, I just got to be careful because, you know, we're a public company. So, Kevin, I'll leave you to do the analysis. You have been pretty close so far, but I will be doubling the amount of production very quickly with a second high wall miner. Just to give you I think I can say this is a fact. We drill about 1,000 feet into the wall with each high wall miner drill. That produces about 1,000 tons of run of mine coal, which I'm now selling. So obviously we'll be producing 2,000 tons a day. You kind of working on the margins for run of mine because it's 50% recovery, just halve the price. You're getting twice as much at half the price. You don't wash it, therefore you don't lose 50% of it. So you can work out how much we're making daily. It's attractive. We shipped our first 1,000 tons last Tuesday. We would have shipped on Monday, but if you guys look at the weather, we had serious snowstorms go through West Virginia last Monday. We shipped on Tuesday. I think I can tell you we'll be paid for that this Friday. So yeah, we're now earning money coming through. It's profitable, very profitable. So that comes through. It's just I can only ship maybe 1,000 tons. I mean, it pays back incredibly quickly.
Yeah,
it was kind of no-brainer to buy it. Again, I needed the cash because most of the cash we had taken on the raise had gone into fixing the wash plant and fixing the rail line and getting everything back to speed. It was lovely to have that institutional support, and I think that they will do well out of this, as will the other investors, because that was sensible money. So I just want investors to know we don't just go out and take money unless it's to build quicker than we would get from the cash flows from producing. And so my new focus, if you like, going forward into this year, is a sort of to acquire reserves and increasing infrastructure. Our rail loadout and wash plant does about 3 million tons a year. We'll probably run it for about 1.5 million. Don't want to run it full capacity. So, you know, I'm looking now for a second rail loadout and a second wash plant. And you know, there are many companies that are in distress, you know, that have assets available. Again, this is not a promise. It's the best I can do. And obviously we're a public company. So as we got closer and signed a deal, it will be announced.
Why are you back in the UK then?
Well, I'm going, I come back, I live in the UK. I come back occasionally. I left on early December. So I'm back for a week. My son is actually 18 as well. So he wants to have a look around some potential universities. He goes to high school in the US. So I'm, you know, there's a potential to come to the UK. So, you know, that as well, a bit of holiday. But also my biggest shareholders are all in the UK. And of course, there's you guys. I miss you. So always nice to speak to you on the same time zone.
Good.
Indeed.
I think it's nice to have these regular updates. If I were an investor, you know, what I look at every morning is keep an eye on the high vol price. I mean, if we are a million ton producer, you know, just think of it like this, Kevin. At a million, you know, every dollar the price moves up, that's $1 million for us.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question because it just occurred to me. Okay, so the situation then with Ben's Creek in terms of moving forward and the production that you're going to produce, what do you think is the possibility of either the coal price continuing to accelerate in price, or alternatively, as a risk, coming back down again?
Well, I think most forecasters predicted it would be about 180. We make a great profit, 180, very happy to be there. But I think it was a surprise that it's where it is now. The difficulty I see for the rest of the industry, and you touched on it in this podcast, is it just takes so long, the barriers to entry, the years and decades of underinvestment. You cannot simply restart a knackered wash plant. You need to fix it up. Ours will be, you know, one of the only ones in the industry that's been remediated. You can't, the railway lines, you know, you need to remediate them. It takes time and money. You've got legacy issues on virtually all these mines. You look at the biggest mine, you touched on it, Warrior Met Coal, you know, 500 million in debt, has to get a municipal bond offering to refinance it. A lot of the big banks don't want to touch coal companies. You've got miners, mine workers that have been, you know, working for years on next to no pay. They deserve, and quite rightly, are demanding a better pay. We're not unionized, so we don't have those issues. You know, all of that systemic underinvestment against a tide where coal is still a dirty word, you know, makes it difficult for them to source investment. And so in that environment, you know, I don't see why the coal price won't continue to rise. Now, we've just had China buying again. We're going into China New Year. Presumably when that finishes and they're back to work, you might see more demand. So I am bullish on the outlook for the high vol A and B price. But we don't need it to be. We're making super normal profits up here. You know, we can survive and make good profits. You know, when we first started talking, you know, some $100 lower, this is just an exceptional time to be in the industry. And that's why I'm trying to go as fast as I can to put that infrastructure. We have no debt. We have a strong and loyal shareholder base that has followed us. You know, we're in a perfect storm at the moment. And, you know, it's great, and we're very privileged to be there.
Yeah, and hopefully you know, in the next couple of years, you can return that back to them in the form of divvies or something that along those lines.
Well, I think if, you know, original guys who bought the stock and have still held on to it, you know, one of my, which I've said to you before, one of my desires, again, not a forecast, is to return them very quickly their purchase price just as quickly as I can. And the stock listed at 10p, as you know.
No, I mean, it's been, I openly say it because I've said it in the groups, it's been my prediction that by the end of 2023, and you don't have to answer this question, by the way, by the end of 2023, I expect that you will have paid or deliberated dividends that are going to be paid probably around the current market price of the share. And that is my anticipation that in the next 2 years, you can distribute, you know, 140 million, 130 million pounds, because based on what all the figures that we've talked about, you're going to have possibly double this amount of money in terms of that. And that's assuming even if the coal price slips back a bit as well, because I think ultimately, as you said, you're on super high profits at the minute, could go even better. But at the same time, it could also go the other way. So either way, I think the potential for retained profits to then be paid as dividends is just huge.
Well, I think let's have a look at the nearest example. Anglo American, you know, making super profits at the moment. It's span out Thungera, which is its thermal coal producer, not met coal, thermal coal. That started at a 115p, it's now 425p. So it's gone up fourfold, but was a big company, not like we were a tiddler when we listed. And that is offering to pay back those types of returns. And so, you know, I look at that. We will be returning the cash. I am the second largest shareholder. You know, we will be doing what we said we would have done. We've done everything we said we've done so far. It will go back to shareholders as soon as possible. And that's why I encourage our sort of family of shareholders who went in at the start and still got hold of it, you know, hold on, because I will give you back, you know, hopefully repay you for your support if you can. Obviously, shares are there to be traded and do whatever you like with it. But, you know, that is my long-term plan, to return dividends.
Yeah, well, we certainly look forward to seeing it all play out, and you've definitely over-delivered, that's for sure.
Well, guys, thanks again for your support. Nice to see you again, and let's catch up in the next quarter, and hopefully we've got more good news to share with you and your viewers.
Adam Wilson, CEO of Benns Creek, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.